Good morning. My name's Scott, and I'm Katie's brother-in-law. I've known her since she was 8, 9 years old, so I have lots of embarrassing stories. I wouldn't do that to her. I just want to tell her how proud I am of her for all the work that she's done to get here today. And I look forward to all the work she'll do with this community in praising God. So I'm here to read the scripture today, which is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word.
We should give thanks for Scott because he was the one that taught me how to drive. So, and in LA area, no less. So, thanks be to God for his patience and teaching. And he's a teacher in his life as well. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping and ribbons just cover the floor, while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I, in my t-shirt, new Reeboks, and jeans, went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains, and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a little white truck with an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling so lovely and grand. The patch on his jacket said, U.S. Postman. With a handful of bills, he grinned like a fox. Then quickly, he stuffed them into our mailbox. Bill after bill after bill, they still came. Whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Dillard's, now Broadway's, now Penny's and Sears. Here's Lovett's and Target and Mervyn's all here. To the tip of your limit, every store, every mall. Now charge away, charge away, charge away all. He whooped and he whistled as he finished his work. He filled up the box and turned with a jerk. He sprang to the truck and he drove down the road, driving much fast with now just half a load. Then I heard him exclaim, with a great holiday cheer, enjoy what you bought. You'll be paying all year. The day is done. The presents are unwrapped. The celebration has been had. The food has been ate. The wrapping paper has hopefully been picked up. And we can relate to this poem, can we not? It might just be too close for comfort for some of us, and this poem was a little outdated. I didn't write it because some of those stores don't exist anymore. But December 25th is over, and we are tired, are we not? We have Christmas Eve, we have worshiped, and now we can sit here and take a big sigh together and relax. Let's sigh. Ready? One more. I hope that was a good rest. Because I've got news for you. Christmas isn't over. Not quite yet. Every year we forget that Christmas isn't actually over until Epiphany, until the moment when the star shines so bright over the manger and the wise men came and kneeled before baby Jesus. Every year we read these gospel stories on Christmas Eve, but we forget that that didn't all actually happen in one night. It took some time for the shepherds to come. It took some time for the wise men to get to the manger. It took some time. And as we move through our year together, it's almost against our nature not to rush things. From the first few moments on the first Sunday of Advent, we are ready to run to the manger and kneel and proclaim, "Oh, holy night." Now Christmas Day is over, and we are ready to get on with it and rush into the new year. But if we don't stop and remember what we learned during Advent, that sacred art of waiting, we miss the best things that are coming to us. It took Jesus some time to get to the end of his story. That's why today we celebrate that Christmas is still here. And no, kids, that doesn't mean you get more presents. Christmas is not yet over. Whether the gifts have been unwrapped or not, whether the dishes have been done and put away or not, the Christmas story is not yet over. The story of God incarnate, of Jesus coming into this world, that story is just beginning. Today we find ourselves in another Pauline letter. We meet the author of Colossians in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And the verses right before this were an exhortation for people to follow, telling them a list of things that they needed to do to live a holy life. Now we are being told the qualities that are necessary for living the new life that we are called to through the birth of Christ in a new community. The author of Colossians is disputed. Scholars aren't sure if it was Paul or Timothy or one of those that Paul tasked with writing, but we know that no matter who was writing, that it was written in a very Pauline-type fashion, because like Paul, the author gets very clear with us. We are not confused about what we are supposed to do. We are told in a very straightforward, Paul-like manner that we are God's chosen people, set apart as holy and loved. And if we recognize that we are God's chosen people, that means we need to make sure that our behavior matches up with our identity, that our outsides match with our insides. So let me break these verses down for you, this litany of things we are supposed to do. What it really comes down to is this. Colossians is telling us that we are called to live in a Christmas state of mind. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind. Well, what in the world does that mean? I don't know what it's like at your house on Christmas, but I can tell you that in the last few weeks, I have heard numerous stories from people, from friends and loved ones, from people here who were all sorts of twisted up and worried and anxious about the family dynamics that they were walking into on Christmas and Christmas Eve. You see, as much as we want to have that idyllic Christmas holiday where the food is perfectly cooked, the presents are perfectly wrapped with sharp edges and crisp bows, where everyone is dressed perfectly with hair combed down and smiles on their faces, as much as we want this, our Christmas holidays never look like that, right? Amen? You all just went through this. Our Christmas holidays never look like what that Hallmark card promises to us. No, our holidays are never perfect. Sometimes we are missing loved ones. who are sick and cannot travel. Sometimes we are grieving loved ones who have recently passed, and sometimes the food doesn't turn out right. Sometimes the kids get a hold of Nerf guns and chase you around the house and break things. Many of my family members are here, and while I have many stories too, Scott, talking about this last night, I decided that many of them, probably most of them, aren't appropriate to share from the pulpit. But I can tell you, when we get this whole lot together and the rest of the lot that aren't here, our Christmas is way more like the kind where kids chase you around with Nerf guns and whipped cream spray bottles than the perfect Hallmark Christmas card that emerges. A few years ago, I decided to buy all of my nephews and nieces a low-scale bouncy house for them as a group gift. And this present was awesome because not only did it make me look like the best aunt ever, secretly it also did something for all the adults. It contained them all in a space. So all of their hyperness and craziness was all in this space, and we got to put chairs around the bouncy house and sit there and actually have conversations and talk and visit while they were playing until somebody hurt themselves or screamed, and then we'd have to really pay attention. But we got to sit there and watch joy and love emerge and memories be made in this little area of energy. And after a while, like all things do, it broke. It got worn out. The kids got too big to be in it. It fell apart. Isn't it funny how we find ourselves over and over again trying to control the chaos that breaks into this season? Trying to make our Christmas day like that perfect card. Isn't it funny that we spend so much of our time making things just right for love to be experienced when the reality is that love is already there? Love has already broken into this world, right into the middle of chaos, just like it did on the night that Jesus was born. He was born right into the chaos, right into an unexpected place, right into a situation that was out of control. Jesus and Mary, I am sure, did not want their son to be born in a manger. And yet, they received the greatest gift in the most unexpected way when they allowed themselves to come to peace with God's plan for them and live into the story to which they have been called. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind. This Christmas state of mind, this recognition, this embracing of the holy that is found in Colossians calls us to put on love, to appropriate the peace of Christ and be thankful. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and we still have some work to do. But this is a different kind of work. This is the kind of work that calls us over and over again to a new life, to build up a new community, to let go of our desire to have things be perfect and to embrace the big, messy reality of love that God is calling us to with open arms. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and people are hungry. People are physically hungry, and people are spiritually hungry also. People are lonely. People are longing for a community that will embrace them as they long to hear the Jesus message proclaimed, meeting them where they are and letting them know that above everything else that is happening in their lives, they are first and foremost beloved children of God. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and we still have work to do. We still have God's kingdom to build up here. After all, that is what Jesus came here for, to teach us how to build up this kingdom, a kingdom that embraces justice and rejects oppression, a kingdom that welcomes all, no matter what, a kingdom that speaks fluently in the language of love and despises the language of hate. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and we still have some work to do. But do not fear. We also still have time. Jesus did not change the world overnight. So often we forget that it took Jesus 30 years before he preached his first sermon in Nazareth, before he changed water into wine, before he climbed up to the mountain to give the Sermon on the Mount, before he started casting out demons. We still have time. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and we still have some work to do. If we focus our Christmas message simply on celebrating the joy of Jesus being born and fast-forwarding to these miraculous things that he did 30 years later, we have missed the point. Christmas happens to show us how to live, to teach us a new way, and to lead us into a new direction. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and we still have some work to do. And that work is just beginning. I want to share with you a poem that's by Howard Thurman. You might have heard this before. It's called The Work of Christmas. Sometimes it's attributed to other authors, but Howard Thurman was the original composer. And if you don't know anything about Howard Thurman, know this: he was the mentor and probably the most inspiring person to Martin Luther King Jr. And so he mentored him into MLK's acts of justice and peace and civil rights work. Let us hear our poem. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nation, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. So let us begin. Christmas is not over. We are called to live in a Christmas state of mind, and we still have work